Our next guest describes his ideal afternoon as follows: a few hours in a canoe, probably on Michigan's Pere Marquette River, accompanied by his wife Maggie. She'd be holding a drink, he'd be holding a paddle. Blue herons and bald eagles up above, about 72 degrees, telling stories, and a cold PBR waiting for him afterward at a local watering hole. As you can tell, our next guest knows how to live. Doc Fletcher's been canoeing and kayaking Michigan waterways for many years. He's written 6 books about paddling, not just in Michigan, but other states as well. His most recent, released just a month ago, is called Michigan's Pere Marquette River, Paddling Through Its History. Welcome to Current State, Doc Fletcher.
Mark, thanks for having me this morning. Now that we have health care out of the way, we can talk about the really important stuff in our state.
Well, this is another way to stay healthy, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
This would lower the blood pressure if you're suffering from hypertension,
I suppose. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's a peacefulness out in the waters that I've not been able to find in any other endeavors in life. It's just a wonderful way to spend an afternoon. It's extremely healthy. Fill your lungs with fresh air. Beautiful wildlife along the way. A very affordable diversion. And I know oftentimes families are trying to find something that's cool for their kids to do with them, and canoeing and kayaking fits the bill very nicely. I should mention one other thing on my perfect day. I would be paddling downstream, and there would be a fisherman along the shoreline. I would ask him how the Tigers did that afternoon. He would tell me they beat the Yankees 8-0, so that would conclude it.
Okay, wow, that's a frosting on the cake there. How did this love affair with paddling unfold, Doc?
Well, interestingly, I never paddled in a canoe till I had graduated from college. It just wasn't something that my mom and dad and family were into. But I can remember in 1977, a group of friends went on the White River over by Muskegon, and they told so many great stories from the adventure. I had missed that trip, and I determined I would never miss another one. So in May of 78, 35 years ago, a buddy had organized a trip on the Pere Marquette. And I went on that river, and I immediately fell in love with it being canoeing in general. I organized a trip 2 weeks later on the Pine River, and 2 weeks after that, we're on the Fox in the UP. And ever since then, during my corporate years, from the mid-70s to mid-aughts, 4 or 5 times a year, I would organize canoe trips and get out on the water.
You've told me the Pere Marquette is your favorite. The latest book is all about the Pere Marquette.
Yes.
For people who've never experienced the Pere Marquette, what makes it so special?
Well, I think it has, among the other things, it has a speed that's slightly above average for most other rivers. There are a lot of steering challenges along the way, deadwood or low-hanging branches that you have to work your way around, beautiful driftwood pieces. On my favorite stretch of the river, which is near the town of Wahala, there's a blue heron nesting area. Absolutely gorgeous. The blue herons tend to build their nest about 50 feet above the waterline, and as you're paddling below, you just see the air fill with blue herons and blue herons on the water in front of you. Just gorgeous. It's a nationally designated wild and scenic river, designation well-earned, just absolutely stunningly gorgeous. Very, very nice.
And where is it geographically?
Yeah, it's in the northwest part of the Lower Peninsula. Its headwaters form about 3 miles south of Baldwin. So from Lansing, if you took 96 to M37 on the west side of Grand Rapids, if you went straight north about an hour and a half, you would hit Baldwin. And back up 3 miles to the south, and its headwaters form where 2 of its small tributaries meet, the Little South and the Middle Branch. And from there, it flows to the west through Branch and Wahala and Custer and Scottville until it finally empties into Lake Michigan right near the Ludington Lighthouse, just south of Ludington.
You're from southeast Michigan, but I know you've spent some time on the rivers here in the Lansing area, like the Red Cedar and the Looking Glass.
Yes.
What do you make of those two?
Oh, those are two wonderful rivers, and the fact that they're right in the backyards of your listeners make them rivers they should go on. They're both major tributaries to the Grand River. The Red Cedar runs for 45 miles. I took a stretch of it that was just east of Okemos, Van Adder Road, at a place called Lake Park.
Yeah.
And for the students on campus who see the Red Cedar rolling through there, the stretch upstream from here has nothing to do with that. It has a very strong Louisiana bayou feel to it. The trees lean in from both shores, and they create a thick canopy over the river. So even on the sunniest day, hardly any rays of light can get through. It has a dark beauty to it. There's trees right in the middle of the river as if they're growing up from the middle of the river floor. There's a lot of deadwood and partial log jams that you have to work your way around. So it's not a particularly beginner-friendly stretch of the river. I took a stretch from Van Anna Road east of Okemos all the way down through the campus area to just before Aurelius Road, shortly before it merges into the Grand River, a 10.6-mile stretch of the river. It's like 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
As you go downstream from that early bayou feel and you're getting closer to campus, you start seeing homes about 50 minutes after launching. You're on the edge of Okemos. There's a great park on the left just before the Okemos Bridge, which is now visible, a fine place to take a break at. And as you go downstream at the 5-mile mark, about halfway between this put-in point east of Okemos and Aurelius Road, there is, where the river's 50 feet wide, a huge log jam midstream, big debris field, about 40 feet wide. There are two narrow 5-foot passages around that debris field. And as the river is narrowed, it picks up speed dramatically. It is a wonderful, wonderful rapids run. Speaking of rapids, the rapids in front of the MSU administration building are some of the most vicious rapids in the entire state. And this is the perfect time of year to hit them. Because if you go later in the year, say June or July, the river has gone down so much that not only are there no rapids, sometimes there's hardly any water at the administration building. But if you go now, it's a wild rapid run. And even before I hit the rapids, I saw them in the distance. I heard the dull roar. I knew it would be a challenge because all the students on the shorelines had stopped walking and flipped out their cell phones and were aiming them at me. Yeah, it was fun.
You were immortal.
Yes.
A lot of our listeners who have canoed or kayaked, I'm sure, have done the Red Cedar. Tell us about the Looking Glass. I've never been on that one.
Yeah, it's a very underused river and one of our nicest in the state. It's quite seasonal. Once you get into late June or July, it can be a little low to canoe. It begins in DeWitt, and it comes to an end in Portland, about 15 minutes west of where we're sitting right now, as it merges into the Grand. In fact, there's a fabulous place to see the merger of these two beautiful rivers, Duke's Canoe Club. A nice bar. They have a deck that overlooks where the Looking Glass runs into the Grand. 30-mile-long river. Its midpoint happens to be at the one livery that services it, Betty Harlow. Harlow's Canoes in the tiny town of Wacoosta. Betty is a trip. She's been running canoes for 44 years. She's as much fun as the river. But downstream from her place, that 15-mile segment to Portland, there's beautiful streams that come in, merge into the river, gorgeous sycamore and birch trees that line the river. There is, at this time of year, there'll be some very nice little whitewater runs also. Gorgeous flowers along the way. It's just a very, very pretty stretch of the river. The Looking Glass, very nice.
We're talking with Michigan canoeer and author Doc Fletcher. River and lake levels are going down. Are you adjusting to that? How noticeable is that to you?
Well, on some rivers, it's incredibly noticeable. There's a river called the Carp, a little north of St. Ignace. We paddled it last year, so in summer of 2012 and in 11. When we went in 11, our group of friends said this is one of the most enjoyable rivers we had ever been on. But after a winter with no snowpack melt to keep the water levels up, by the time we went a year later, we ended up walking the river for about 3 hours just dragging our boats. But many rivers that are spring-fed, such as the Pier Marquette, my favorite of them all, they're not affected as greatly by the lack of snow. But again, that was last winter. This winter, we should not have that problem. In fact, Betty Harlow on the Looking Glass said the river is as high as it's been in years.
Oh, about that.
So that's very good.
Do you do more kayaking or canoeing? It sounds like canoeing.
Yeah, mostly canoeing, although this afternoon I will be kayaking. We're going to be taking a trip down Crockery Creek, a gorgeous stream between Grand Rapids and Grand Haven. It has the nicest wildlife of any river I have ever been on in the state of Michigan. You paddle through a breeding ground for bald eagles, sandhill cranes, woodpeckers, mallards by the dozens fly by you. Absolutely gorgeous. Again, a tributary to the Grand River. It begins north of the tiny town of Nunica, and then it flows south for 10 miles until it intersects the Grand. So I will be kayaking today, but canoeing I tend to enjoy a bit more. That's how I first was introduced to rivers. And I've noticed over the years that coolers fit into canoes much better than they do into kayaks. So.
Crockery Creek, we will take note of that. What determines which craft you'll use?
I just think it's personal preference. Before I had ever stepped into a kayak, I asked a gentleman who knew rivers very well what was the difference. And he says, well, Doc, when you get into a canoe, it's like driving a semi, and when you get into a kayak, it's like driving a sports car. And he is right. You can turn on a dime in a kayak, you're much closer to the water level, but for longer trips, if there's any camping involved, you need the extra space that a canoe holds. And a canoe is my first introduction and my first love, and that will always be my favorite.
Your website is canoeingmichiganrivers.com.
Yes.
Good website. Check it out. Doc Fletcher is a canoeer, kayaker, and author of, well, he's working on his sixth book now. His most recently, just released a month ago, Michigan's Pere Marquette River, Paddling Through Its History. Thanks, Doc Fletcher.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it.